You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 7378037776 if you want to get in. Lance, we got a new Karen this weekend. Apparently she's in the park where you have to have your dog on a leash.
Mm-hmm.
And her dog was not on a leash. And you will hear her. She is being filmed by an African American. And she is calling the police on him for whatever reason. So, but as she's doing this, she's dragging her dog by the collar and choking the dog up as she's yelling and screaming. So here's Karen in the park.
Could you please stop? Sir, I'm asking you to stop.
Please don't come close to me.
Sir, I'm asking you to stop recording me.
Please don't come close to me.
Please take your phone off.
Please don't come close to me.
And I'm taking a picture and calling the cops.
Please call the cops. Please call the cops.
I'm going to tell them there's an African-American man threatening my life.
Please tell them whatever you like.
Excuse me? I'm sorry, I'm in a ramble, and there is a man, African-American, who has a bicycle helmet. He is recording me and threatening me and my dog. There is an African-American man.
Meanwhile, the dog is struggling.
The dog can't breathe.
I can hear the dog.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you either. I'm being threatened by a man in the ramble. Please send the cops immediately. I'm in Central Park in the ramble. I don't know.
Thank you.
Most people who are threatening someone usually record it because they want it on tape, right?
Yeah. The next time I go out and threaten someone just walking in my neighborhood, I got my camera out just because, hey.
I got to record myself threatening you and possibly doing you harm.
Meanwhile, your dog is...
I need the evidence.
Your dog barked at you and whined because you were choking it to death.
Right.
And by the way, she was, because people found her name and all that stuff. Apparently, she rescued this particular dog from a bad situation and adopted it or something along those lines. And there's the people who honored her on the Facebook page have a picture of her carrying her dog. Like, oh, thank you for saving this dog and taking care of it. And, well, now this.
Yeah. Now, not so much. Not so many thank yous. But... I mean, so they found her through the mask.
They have her name, where she works, even the video. Now there are multiple editions of this video everywhere from people just grabbing it from the guy who posted it. But the one I grabbed, full first and last name, her position, and where she works, in a very prominent position at a major company. So I don't know what's going to happen to her, but
not for long.
The internet knows.
So. I can certainly see the internet canceling her. Jimmy Fallon, I watched that skit. That's ridiculous. I mean, he was doing a skit.
Mm-hmm.
It
actually is a very good imitation of Chris Rock, if you want to know the truth.
It really was.
I was like, wow, he does a pretty good imitation of Chris Rock.
Yeah, he does the gestures and everything. But was he supposed to come out in white? He's in whiteface? I mean,
he did the impression in 2000, and someone not Dan Holden, sent us a link about how NBC was like, yeah, this might cause some issues.
NBC cut it off.
Yeah, so there's a re-edited version from NBC.com where there is no Jimmy Fallon blackface, but then there's the original version back in 2000 where it's the full thing of the broadcast version of it. Yeah, I don't know how you do. Well, I guess you can do a. He could probably do a. He does a Chris Rock now. He's not going to paint himself in blackface for it. 20 years ago, I guess NBC thought that was acceptable. Certainly not now, because even they, without saying it, acknowledged that this is a bad look when they re-edited the clip. So I don't know if he gets canceled, though, considering he didn't just go out some place and do blackface. It was part of a broadcast. Skit.
He was doing a skit. My goodness.
People, well, it was Regis. So Daryl Hammond was doing Regis Philbin.
Right.
And he comes out, and this is going to be shortly after, probably a year or two after, which one was it? I don't think it was. It might have been Bigger and Blacker, I think. The stand-up comedy where Chris is wearing the black turtleneck and the leather jacket. There's an actual – that's where he's wearing that outfit. But I felt like that was – if this is in 2020, man, I felt like I saw that in 2002 is when I saw that comedy special. So I don't know. Maybe Chris Rock had been wearing that outfit for a while. But, the actual skit itself is pretty funny in terms of – his imitation and the actual comedy of the writing of him clowning Regis, Philbin character.
It's a bit jolting to see him.
in
blackface. It really is. It's not something you catch. I certainly don't do it now. I mean, obviously the most famous one is Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, exactly.
It's rough to look at.
Mm-hmm. I will admit that you don't expect seeing that anymore.
Yeah,
you didn't really. It's not like you saw it a lot anyway, but. Now it's like, well, whoa.
Yeah, now they would just get, Keenan to do it. There wouldn't even be a question about who's doing the black person impression. It'd be Keenan Thompson from the show. They wouldn't even have a white guy try it just because. Forget about even just remove blackface from the equation. I don't think they would even have a white guy be pretend to be a black guy now just because you don't want that smoke.
No.
Just get Keenan, just have Keenan do it. And you safely avoid this, what Jimmy Fallon's dealing with now.
Is Ben Stiller canceled for Tropic Thunder?
Well, that was Robert Downey Jr.
Or Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, that one.
Nah. Is Eddie Murphy canceled for being a Jewish barber?
Is what about the white chicks?
Oh, no, he wasn't a barber. He was sitting in a barber chair.
What about white chicks?
Yeah,
Wayans are kind of canceled anyway.
I don't.
Is Eddie Murphy canceled when they bring out he's dressed as a white Jewish man?
We know the double standard exists. Black comedians are allowed to do that. It's what it is. And white comedians don't put blackface on because of the historical connotations. That's the double standard. That's how it is, and they should all accept it.
Del, play the Fallon Chris Rock.
Well, I'm not signed in on the computer. I have to pull it up.
Oh. And speaking of New York, have you seen the other video that's gone viral? Staten Islanders with masks drive out non-mask wearing person in a grocery store. You want to talk about, people attacking this woman who was not wearing a mask. And she had to leave the store because they just berated her.
You know, one of the things I like about our country right now is that we are a country that comes together, and we have just such a great way with each other. Mm-hmm. We are such a kind people in this country. We are such a good people. I'll wear a mask. I don't have a problem with it. But can you imagine driving somebody out who's not like that? Now, you know, every area responds differently. I can tell you this. Did you see the other two videos? One is from Houston, where it's a huge pool party, and the other is from the Ozarks in Missouri, mm-hmm. where it's a huge river party, I guess it is. Like, it's even bigger than the Houston one. Did you see the Houston one, too?
Oh, I know some people that were at Clay.
Okay.
At that party at Clay. And, that was – I mean, it caught a lot of – it was predominantly African-American, and there were a lot of African-American comments from African-Americans about, well, peeps, what are you doing at Clay? And then, it was predominantly white in the Ozarks, not surprisingly. And, you want to talk about just not giving a bleep. I mean, just people on top of people on top of people.
It was packed. Here's a serious question. Would Ruth Langmore have been out on the water? I don't think so. I think Ruth Langmore, I think High and Three and all the – I think her cousins don't take – I think most of the Langmores don't take quarantine or the pandemic or the or social distancing seriously. I just have a feeling Ruth Langmore takes it seriously. I don't know why I think she does.
She would have called all them S-sticks, and but Marty was probably D-faces. Like, yeah, Marty was like, Ruth, we got to watch this money, so let the people party. Hey, we exactly. need people in the area.
Okay. Ruth, what we're going to have to do is we'll all try to be as safe as possible. We get them to hospitals if they need, but their choices cannot affect what we're trying to do right now. We've got to keep this thing afloat. So, you know who else would have let that happen for sure? Who would have thrown the party? Skylar Bird.
It's windy, but yeah, sure, Skylar.
Skylar Bird.
Windy Bird.
Skylar Windy Bird would have done it.
So are we not going to get, because of this pandemic, have they shot this next season yet? Or
no. So what's happening is, Eric, I asked Eric Layden this because of Succession. Because I heard Succession was like halfway through. Everything that shut down, you can expect to be delayed a full year. Unless they leave to another country to finish it somehow, you can expect it to be shut down for a full year. Because if you have to shoot, it's going to take, he said, with makeup artists and all the union itself, right? There's a huge union, and that's who, you know, the key grips and all that stuff are unionized. And so you are, not to mention Screen Actors Guild, they are not going to be allowed to do anything until everyone's on board. And he said, you can forget taping schedules for 2020. And you can forget it.
I'm looking at this article right now. Jason Bateman talked about it. At least in April, he was asked about it. And apparently Netflix hasn't even announced officially that Ozark Season 4 is a thing, but everyone expects it to be a thing. But there isn't a, there is, these are his quotes. There is not an official pickup for Season 4. We're all operating on, under the hope it'll happen. It's Netflix's norm to wait for a show to premiere and collect the data for weeks 2, 3, and 4 to see if there's an audience there to justify an additional season. So if they haven't even greenlit it yet, but he says it takes about four to, let's see, it's, it takes about 12 months from start to finish to get a season out. So if they haven't even started yet, and then you
2022.
Yeah, it's going to be a while.
Well, have they even started writing it yet?
That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. If they haven't even gotten to that point, because that's what he said, from start to finish, it takes about 12 months for Netflix to get something out to the public. So you're probably looking at maybe at the earliest, late 2021, and maybe even into 2022.
Yeah. Did you guys – all right, 815 ESPN 975. Question for you guys on the other side. 713-780-3776, anybody that wants to get in here. I want to talk about Chastain Ford. I love, love, love my Expedition. And you will love your – whatever you get from there. I'm telling you, the Explorer Sport is a fantastic – it's vehicle after vehicle. It's Ford. The F-150s, the Rangers, whatever it is that you're looking for. I mean, they've got it in stock, ready, new. They've got a great used car department as well. You can tour virtually if you're still somebody that just doesn't want to get out there yet. If you're still worried, not a problem. Patrick, they are sanitizing. They are doing everything humanly possible to make sure that that safe environment exists at Chastain Ford. But if you don't want to, hey, and if you need your car fixed, they will come pick it up. They will fix it, sanitize it, and bring it back to you. That's the kind of service that you get at Chastain Ford. That's the number one thing, is you're joining the family. And when you're in the family, boy, they treat you like royalty at Chastain Ford. I love being part of the Chastain family. Wish I had done it years and years and years ago, but I am now, and you can too. All you got to do is get to Chastain Ford. It's on 610, two exits east of 59. Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown, or go to ChastainFord.com. You're looking for that truck, car or truck, 84 months interest-free, no payments for 6 months, nothing down. Ridiculous right now at Chastain Ford.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Where is he?
Man, oh man, Regis Philbin. I seen Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and guess what? Not a lot of black folks on the show.
Right.
Not a lot of black folks on the show. Know why? Because black folks don't like to answer questions. Or they want to be millionaires, but you got to ask that kind of question. Like, in 1981, how many grams of crack did Rick James smoke when he recorded Super Freak? Regis, you think the only way to get a brother on the show is to name it Who Wants $50 Cash and a Pair of Pumas?
Chris, you're terrific. Would you consider teaming up with me?
Well, you kidding? I ain't waking up at 7 a.m. to fake laugh at some cruise ship stories.
What the hell? Are you sure?
Yeah, and that's my final answer.
That was, he does sound like him, boy. And the mannerisms and everything. Pretty good job. And now he's being canceled for it. Oh, stop. Stop, America. Oh, my goodness. The judgments. Oh, wow. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5. You're more than welcome to do that. I am so tired of saying the NFL is saying this. We're canceling the pass interference rule. The pass interference replay rule failed miserably. Do you know why it failed miserably? Because the referees pushed back and the NFL didn't do a damn thing about it. That the NFL let the referees destroy a rule because of their egos is ridiculous. If Goodell would have said, okay, guys, we're going to have a board, we're going to review all the replays on pass interference, and if we feel like they were pass interference and you didn't call it and you didn't overturn the call, okay, we'll give you three strikes, but three strikes, you're out of a job. If you can't get this right, then you won't have a job in the NFL. How's that?
It's a little more nuanced, because I think the question is, what I always felt like this was an overreaction to an egregious miss that should have never taken place. I mean, how two referees missed that is, they just shouldn't be officials anymore if you miss that badly. I don't know how you miss in the Saints Rams game. That was literally impossible to miss that. What Troy Vincent said was, and Troy Vincent is the executive vice president of football operations. He kind of took the brunt of it. He said, we cannot fail this year. We saw a year ago when the rule played out, starting with myself, what we put in place last year, those outcomes were not good for professional football because we didn't do the proper due diligence. It played out publicly. Last thing we should be talking about is the way the game is officiated. They should be faceless objects managing and facilitating game flow. We failed. I'm first in line. I shared that with league officials. I failed as the leader of that department. I failed. We cannot allow that to happen again. What did we learn from that? We've got to do our due diligence. We can't rush and just shove something in there without knowing all the consequences. And we found that out last year.
What consequences? Well, I think the refs were going to be a bunch of bitches?
Well, I think but they did rush. I mean, it happened in January, and they pushed it through. And obviously there's more to it than this, that, John. I mean, they look at every single call, every single situation.
Well,
and I think it's how closely you call it. I think that's the problem, is what you have to, just
how
like
about,
a holding call.
How about
call.
Egregious, which they didn't it was obviously Lance at times. It was unbelievably obvious. That's interference. You didn't call it. Change the call. Nope.
It got better later in the year.
Yeah, barely. It was still a ridiculous, 12% total? I mean, it was a ridiculously low number because of the pushback, because of the egos of the referees, and you let them walk all over you. I really think that had the NFL given them an ultimatum, call this right or else, they would have called it right. You guys can't. Here's what they were doing. The referees were legislating. Instead of all, what they're supposed to do is judge, okay? They're supposed to judge what the league wants. And instead, they were making the rule. We're not doing this. We're going to tell you right now, this is not going to be a rule in the NFL because we're pushing back on this.
Yeah,
I
don't know that I'm comfortable with all that because I just think I disagree with that. Because one of the things is, I think the league is also saying, maybe we shouldn't have rushed to insert this because look how many interference penalties we're now having to sift through. And many of them weren't clear. And when we had broadcasters, the head of the officiating on the broadcast crew come in and explain, he'd say, this isn't going to get overturned because this isn't clear and obvious. But there's a different word. It's clear and something else. But they would explain,
those were fine, Lance, but there were plenty of them.
But I
there
think
were
the,
plenty of them.
I think
that
the amount of challenges
were clear and obvious that they didn't overturn.
I think they don't want. I think the number of the percentage of those clear, obvious ones, I think, were such that it didn't make sense for them to continue on with something like this. Is Troy Vincent saying this? This is Troy Vincent, who was
Troy
one of the
Vincent
guys who helped
fell
insert
on the sword.
This.
Troy Vincent fell on the sword.
Well, I mean,
to
maybe,
me,
but
this was all referee pushback.
Who was the one making the call ultimately? The ref on the field?
The ref on the field.
The ref on the field was making the
Which
call.
Which is a terrible way to do it.
Well, hold on. There was no. Well, then who was the judge in the command center?
Now, listen, the eye in the sky now, this thing that they're talking about?
I thought it was command center did it.
No. The referee kept looking over and over and over and over and over at it.
I know they did, but I thought it was the command center from New York that was making a lot of those calls. And he got to look at the or was the command center just running back and forth on the on which replays he got to see?
Yeah, I don't know. What I saw on the field was that referee looking at it over and over and over and over again and him making the final call. That's what I saw. But here's the deal is even if it was the referee in the command center, he was wrong. He was wrong so many times. And the Texans got screwed on it. I mean, and not just because it was there was a Monday night game, there was a Monday night call that was just obvious. And everybody in the booth, the announcers are like, if that's not overturned, I don't know what. Why are we even doing this?
I saw a few of them. I didn't see as many as you did, apparently. I didn't think it was like this jaw-dropping amount of misses that were never touched. I think what people looked at was the percentage that were being overturned, and people didn't like that percentage. They wanted a higher percentage even without even seeing it. They just wanted the number to be higher.
Or they saw these guys not doing it, and they just said, oh, well, we can't get them to do it. Oh, well. And I think that's crap. I think that's a load of crap. I think you're a referee. You do what the league tells you to officiate. You officiate what they tell you to officiate. You don't create the rules, because they created, you know what they did? Now, okay, you know what's going to happen again, Lance, now? Is we're going to have an egregious interference that's not called in a critical situation.
It happens. Strike zones are like that.
And hopefully it'll involve the Saints again.
Okay, where's this outrage for umpires missing strike zones that are egregious? Why don't we have the same energy for the umpires missing their calls?
We do. There's talk about a strike zone that's going to be – what do you mean?
Yeah, there's been talk about that.
Well, but guess what? They're getting the technology. They're actually doing it at the minor league level.
But the difference is –
what do you mean?
Is,
they're really, really, really working on it because it has been egregious.
But no, I know. They're really, really working on it. Let me know when it comes to fruition.
It will.
And that's fine if it does. Here's the difference. You're talking about a finite strike zone based on, I guess, because it's clearly not armpits. It's top of the letters.
At the bases, you know what? You can replay it. They fix stuff that needs to be fixed.
Do you always agree with the answer of the replay? I don't in baseball.
Not always, but at least it's not nearly as egregious as the percentages like that. I mean, I don't agree with everyone.
But football has replay.
But I know that there's not an agenda to overturn it. Well, and there was an agenda by the referees to push back on this.
I don't know that for sure.
Well, I that's what I saw.
Because the replay official is in charge. The replay official is in charge of all this. So it's a separate official.
827 ESPN 97.5. Champion Energy is what we're talking about now. And if you're looking for the best way to save some money, I need you to please go to Champion Energy. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560. There is no better way to save money because all electricity is the same. It's not like you're buying a Mercedes versus whatever car, okay, or whatever crappy car. They're all the same. So why are you paying more from one electricity company than another? That's what I'm saying. And, well, because the rates are better, or they're nights and weekends, they're going to be free stuff. Yeah, they're also killing you with fees. It's ridiculous how much they're charging you. So when it comes to the bottom line, the bottom line is the bottom line. Go with ours. Champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yep, I just hit my head.
Well, this is comfortable. John's not around and Lance just hit his head.
I just hit my head on this. Oh, man. That just hurt.
Are you doing the show from a closet? What'd you hit
no,
your head
I'm
on?
No, I'm in my mom's office and I hit my head on this bookcase that's above her or whatever this is, this overhang. And I busted my head. One thing we just found out about John, anti-authority.
No. Well, not anti-authority.
Yeah, hashtag resistance.
No.
Hashtag blue wave.
No, I want when I tell you what to do, do it.
He's a fan of authority. He wants the officials to stay in their place.
Yeah, I'm the exact opposite of what you said. I am all for, you know what?
No.
People telling people what to do.
No. You don't want the officials telling you what to do.
You know what? Your commissioner doesn't have any stones. No nuts
Troy Benson
whatsoever.
Says, hey, I made a mistake. And John goes, no, you didn't. This is a conspiracy.
Yeah. No. It's not a mistake. A mistake that you made 40 or 50 times is no longer a mistake.
40 or 50?
Yeah, they missed about 40 or 50 of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think it should have ever been put in, and now they figured out why. And Troy's like, oh, that's well, right. This thing,
okay,
the game
good
gets
luck.
Stopped a thousand
when the Saints
times.
Are out of the Super Bowl again
when
because
I care.
Of you.
Beat it, Saints. Don't care. You're not my team.
Oh, wow.
You're John's team, kind of.
Hear that, Saint fan? Mm-hmm. Lance doesn't care about you or your team.
Don't care.
No one cares that the Saints are screwed except Saints fans.
What about what the Texans get screwed on the AFC Championship
game?
Well,
they'd have to get there first.
Then we could be pissed off.
So, okay.
And Saints fans wouldn't care about the Texans. That's
I don't feel like I'm going to waste a whole lot of energy on Texans AFC Championship game talk.
Oh, okay. All right. Apparently, you didn't get your pizza, all right?
I didn't, so I don't care.
Okay, yeah. Well, I got mine. I'm all about the Texans in the AFC Championship game.
Are you?
Let me ask you this question. It was a pretty good question on ESPN. So this would go to which division most likely could have all four of their teams in the playoffs this year?
Well, I guess the answer would be the NFC West.
NFC West was their call. How about the NFC South?
Falcons.
I think Carolina's the obvious one that would be.
Yeah,
but with Brady,
I'm struggling with that one.
Yeah, with Brady, Atlanta, I have no idea what Atlanta is.
I don't know. Will Greer's known as one of the great quarterbacks in college football and now pro football, so I don't know. I'd make them a huge favorite.
Well,
oh, wait, that's right. Will Greer's not even their starter. I forget.
No, Teddy Bridgewater is
the great
start.
Will Greer's not even there.
Guys, if you're wondering why Lance just dropped in a Will Greer non sequitur, it's because of his ongoing battle with West Virginia fan. So,
how could you not have Will Greer in your top two? I'm sorry? Will Greer's a quarterback to watch. He's one of the top two quarterbacks in college football. Okay. Well, I guess that makes you the third quarterback on a pro team. Beat it, West Virginia fan. You and your David Sills nonsense, too.
Oh.
I'm just handling my personal fight with West Virginia fans that literally probably one person listening, just Chase, cares about, because he was born, he was married into a West Virginia family.
Guess what? Will Grills still got a chance to be one of the greats, and so does David Sills.
Mm.
Yeah, because neither one is retired, so John has a point. They still have a chance.
And the XFL's coming back.
One of the great XFL players of all time, Will Grier.
It's possible. It's possible.
Okay, would you rather have Will Grier or Connor Cook?
Oh, he already hit you with the B.
Okay, Will Grier or Connor Cook?
Give me no, Will Grier. I'm not just going to – I'm just going to stand on this hill to die.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. All right, David Sills. That's going to be awesome. Wearing I'm not putting Roughnecks on him. How about he's a New York Giant, right?
Yeah, currently.
Yeah, he's a New York Giant. That's
currently,
right.
Currently, for now.
No,
do you,
not for
did
now.
You, did you, by the way, see –
Everybody
is Dana,
needs a big white guy.
Is Dana going to do – I know Dana had to take a 10% pay cut along with the AD and Kelvin Sampson is what University of Houston had to do. And really a lot of sports communities a lot of athletic departments are doing that. Mark Schlaubach is going to join us at 9 o'clock. We're going to talk about college sports and especially college football and why it's so essential for pro and college football, but especially college football to get going. They have to get games in. Just for the financial viability of these universities.
What about Michigan, though, coming out and saying, if we don't have students here, we ain't doing it?
Well, we'll see. Right? I heard a lot of talk. One thing I've noticed is people said, LeBron James said, if we don't have fans, I'm not playing. That changed. I noticed
that changed in a hurry.
Dana said, if we don't have fans, we're going to, no, it's going to be whatever it's going to be. And that's
no, Dana
what,
didn't say, if we don't. Dana
no,
said,
he didn't say we won't fans. He just said, I just can't see us playing football without fans.
Right.
But I can, because you have to.
You guys
got to get these games in.
I can see them. Actually, you want to know the truth? By end of August, early September, we're going to – listen, go to Osage Beach in the Ozarks and see how people are all gathering together. Okay? That's what's happening.
I don't think that's the standard.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the standard that people are like, you know what we need to do? What people at the Ozarks are doing?
Or the people in Houston were doing.
Or the people at Clay.
Look, if people in positions of power say, let's let the fans in. People are going to be there. People show up. It's the only thing holding any of this back are the people obviously making decisions. Because if you tell people they can go watch college football on a Saturday in their building, they're going to do it.
Do you think that a whole building would fill up in let's say, early September? Let's say week one. Let's say the first real week of football. I mean, not Virginia Tech versus Marshall. Do you think the first week of real football where the whole slate is open, do you think stadiums would all be full?
Depends on the location.
Let me hit you with some.
I'll tell you this. No. You know why? Because you can't let them do that.
Well,
what you have to do is legislate it so you can at most 50%.
But we're not playing that game.
No, we're saying if they're allowed to.
If they're allowed
would
to.
It?
Yeah, yeah,
oh,
here we go.
Are you kidding? Do you think that the first LSU game won't be packed?
Okay, let me – well, you got to wait. You got to wait. We're playing the game. Tennessee. Now, remember, there's over 100,000 seats in there. Would Tennessee be at capacity?
Yes, they mistakenly think they're going to be good this year. Yes, like they always do. Yes, they're showing up.
Did you see their ranking of their recruiting ranking?
Well, yeah, that's what happens when you're desperate and you start throwing out cash. Not that I would say that. Yes, Tennessee people will show up.
You ready? Oregon. Yep.
They got Ohio State coming to town. Now, that's a liberal Pacific Northwest place, but Ohio State's coming to town. They're showing up if they're allowed to.
Oregon's tougher.
Yeah, they'll be there.
All right, Cal.
They're not there either way.
They're not showing up. Nah, they're not showing up either way, so that's not fair.
Where?
Cal. University of California.
No.
They don't go anyway. Okay, USC.
They hate Clay Helton, but
yeah, but they got Slovis.
I think 65%.
I think they think they're going to be really good this year. I think they do show up. But not U.S., yeah.
But it's California, too.
75%. Okay, what about this? Rice.
What?
No. Every year's a pandemic with Rice's attendance. What are you talking about? stay home, stay safe, Rice football.
Oh, that's been the slogan for the last 5 years?
I mean, I'm looking at the fan base. It seems like it. Not that they've had a lot to cheer for. I fully admit it's not like the fans are like, yeah, man, they're really, this is the year. No, but I just don't feel like hashtag stay home, stay safe should be should feel like your motto for the season.
When there's no pandemic.
For a decade, no pandemic.
All right. Let's say Florida.
Yeah. Let's see. Come on.
Miami.
Well, there's no one. They wouldn't have a great crowd either way, but they would get their 40,000.
Okay, let me give you this one. Rockets. It's 20,000 or close to 20,000. I don't think I don't know. I mean, based on Clay, it's pronounced Clay.
Yeah, C-L-E.
Okay.
Clay.
With the So based on the amount, that's the only thing in Houston that I've seen where I've seen a group of people just jammed up other than when I was at Dolce Vita restaurant.
You didn't see Galveston.
Yeah, Galveston. We were at a restaurant because they were closing Dolce Vita. My wife wanted to go grab one of their Serrano martinis. And, you know, the food's really good. You've been there before, John. Somebody told me they saw you in there like a year ago with Wendy.
Where
Dolce Vita.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good pizza, good food.
Very good.
Well, anyway, we went in there to get my wife a martini. I went to a restaurant on Saturday. I went to Riel and LaShane basically said, look, if you don't have my phone number, you're not getting in, basically. So they did a very soft opening on Friday and Saturday to make sure that their staff and their cooks in the back and, you know, the chefs and sous chef, all that, could get back. He said, they're rusty, man. They're slow. I said, really? They said, oh, yeah, it's just like anything else if you haven't been doing it at a certain pace. And so we went, and there's hand sanitizer on the, you know, the tables are all spaced out, all that stuff, and they're taking it very seriously, and they've got some other stuff that you can ask them about, but they've got some scientific stuff going on in there as well. It's pretty cool that you can ask them about that. I think some NBA teams are going to be using for arenas, but you know, I was in there, and I will tell you that at some point it starts to feel like normal, and you have to still, you know, you kind of let your guard down instead of being instead of remembering, oh yeah, that's right, I need to make sure that I'm not, you know, doing all this. I mean, somebody came up, shook my hand, I shook his hand, and then right on the table is hand sanitizer, and so I did that or whatever. But it was weird being out for the first time in a restaurant, because I'm a little nervous about that stuff. I want to support Ryan, I want to support all the restaurants around Houston, but I can tell you this, the restaurant, but they, you know, they followed all the guidelines and all that. I was at the Dolce Vita, and it's closed now. They're done. Their lease was up, and that was their last day. It was either Sunday or Saturday. So I don't even feel bad about saying this. It was like they didn't care. You go in there, and I'm like, whoa, table. And I said, Nick, get your drink now. I'm going outside. You can join me outside, and you can finish your drink, and I'll help you finish it because I'm not staying in there. So I do think there are going to be some restaurants that, you know, are maybe taking a little more seriously. I took a picture of her just so I could get all the tables in the background. So I've actually got that too. But, you know, that was when I was thinking, no wonder the numbers are spiking in Houston.
Yeah, I don't know. We went out to Kima this weekend, and it was fun. We went boating and went to Landry's. And I felt safe. I mean, you just don't get close to people, and you're going to be fine.
But sometimes you don't have a choice if they're not watching. You know how they handle stuff. Were they handling stuff the way they're supposed to?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well then. Handling? Well, I mean, you know, the amount of tables, the distance, the 50%, all that stuff.
Yeah, we were at a table. We were far from everybody else. I didn't feel at all unsafe in any way, shape, or form. And you just, you know, when you listen, you have to be next to someone for any amount of time, or they have to have sneezed or coughed, or there has to be that in the air, and you have to actually have absorbed it. If you're walking past people It's nil. Nil. How much? We went walking in the Arboretum yesterday, mm-hmm. and it was to me that's a to me okay. We're not in New York. We're in Houston, and our numbers have spiked a little bit. They've gone up, but if you're walking outside and you're walking past, there was a couple that was walking with a mask on, and I was like, I don't really know that that's necessary because you're
no, but let them. You don't have to chase them out of the park and tell them they're killing your freedoms.
No, I don't care. But don't take away my freedoms. But actually, you're outside. It can't be safer than being outside, which is another reason the college football stadiums would be, you're outside. But if you're jammed together with seats like they are at college stadiums, there's nothing safe about that. I don't care where you are. You could be outside. You could be on the moon, and it's not going to be safe. But if you're walking or biking or you're outside and you're moving and you're not near anyone, you're okay. I saw
Most
some
people
woman
don't.
Say,
Most people don't wear masks. Like even at Memorial Park, most people don't. Well, they just try to keep their distance.
First of all, you can't exercise with a mask on. Secondly, there was some woman said, I'm at my parents' house and the next door neighbor is out in his own driveway washing his own car with a mask on. I want to give him a wedgie. Hey, you can't catch anything. You're outside in your own driveway.
I've seen people walking down the streets of one guy was walking down San Felipe, and there's literally nobody even remotely close. Cars are driving by, and he's got a mask on. And all I can think is, it really – the 6 feet rule is for the cough and a sneeze and all that. That, like you said, John, they did say if you get closer, just talking can do it. If someone is someone's talking, they can do it if you're closer. But 6 feet, they developed that because of the cough or the sneeze. If I'm outside and I'm not around anybody – You can do it if you want, but you're making it a little bit harder on yourself, certainly. Right. But I can understand people in restaurants, like around the bar area, people were wearing masks. And
I get it. Absolutely. All right, 846 ESPN 97.5. We got your boy Schlabach coming up. Mark Schlabach is going to come up at the top of the hour. But right now, we are going to talk about Chastain Ford and my guys. Those are my guys, okay? The Chastains. And hey, Patrick and Joe are just tremendous. And the Chastain family has been doing this forever since 1933. Return and referral business. 80 to 85% of their business was return and referral. That is ridiculous how awesome that is. Because that just means I love my experience, so I'm going to return. Or I love my experience, and I'm going to tell somebody else about it. And that is that can't be a bigger endorsement for a car dealership. You will love doing business with the Chastains, and I promise you'll love doing business with the Chastains. They really, really do care. They really wanted to make sure that I was comfortable with the payments that I was going to have. Because that's, especially right now, man, where you got to be? It's such uncertain times right now. I got to be at this number. And so that's what they'll find. They'll get you to that number. You got to be, logical in the kind of car that you're going to buy. But whatever the case may be, get what you can. Get the best car at the best price where you feel the most comfortable at those payments. With 84 months of interest-free, that's ridiculously high. That is so good. 6 months, nothing, no payments, and nothing down. These are ridiculous deals going on right now. They're going to get you in that Ford car, truck, whatever it is, whatever you want. And they got the selection and the service is second to none. All at Chastain Ford, Homestead, not Hempstead, on 610, just two exits east of 59, 5 minutes from downtown, or ChastainFord.com. You can chat virtually, ChastainFord.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, there was a commitment from a high school player by the name of Jaden Hood. I'm sure you've heard of him, Dell. He's big-time recruit from, I guess, the state of Michigan. and he's staying
State
home.
Of Florida.
Oh, is he from Florida?
St. Thomas Aquinas. Same school that Michael Irvin went to.
Oh, yeah. St. Thomas Aquinas is a kind of a big-time school, though.
Yeah.
A little bit of a football factory. It's actually, Johnny Harris told me, it's really, really nice. So anyway, he's committed to Michigan. And did you see the video on the commitment video that was posted where Don Brown, the defensive coordinator, the position coach, Don Brown, the defense coordinator, and Jim Harbaugh, they all do cartwheels in celebration of him. It's like it's a coordinated thing where they said, okay, let's all do a cartwheel. Whew. I felt like when I was a kid, my cartwheels were you know, pretty good. I know what they were supposed to look like. You don't know it unless somebody tapes you, I guess. But my guess is that if I had to do a cartwheel now, it would probably look more like, I'm hoping Jim Harbaugh's, which was not good, and not Don Brown's, which was close to a hospital. I'm starting to think that a cartwheel is the ultimate athleticism check for somebody like 40 plus. Like, listen, you don't have to run, you don't have to jump, you don't have to do any of that stuff. Just do a cartwheel real quick. Let me check your flexibility, your athleticism.
I couldn't do a cartwheel when I was 14. What do you mean? I mean, I've never been able to do. I never tried. I mean, I can't do a cartwheel, and I couldn't do it when I was young. So I don't think that that's a check of how athletic you are.
Well, no. According to Lance,
you fail.
The draft Nick, he says your lack of ability to do cartwheels speaks to your unathletic.
Cartwheel, Lance?
Oh, I just told you. I hope I'm more like Jim Harbaugh and not Don Brown.
Well, I know you hope, but can you do it or not?
Well, yeah, I can do a cartwheel.
You can do a cartwheel.
Yeah.
Are you sure that you won't break some bone?
No, I'm not sure.
Or end up in
that.
Some kind of cast?
I haven't had a reason to do a cartwheel. There's been nothing over the last like 3 decades where
that's
I said,
right.
"Hey, you know
so
what?
You,
I need
how
to
do
get
you
loose
know
with
you
this
can
cartwheel.
Still do a cartwheel?"
I think I did one.
Now, I bet you can't do a cartwheel.
Well, a cartwheel, a good cartwheel, or just a cartwheel?
No, a good cartwheel, like a regular cartwheel, where both feet are go over your head and you land on both. Yes, you can't.
Oh,
do that.
I did that like 4 years ago in the yard.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. It's been a lot of injuries since that time.
Yeah, yeah. That's a fair
I
point.
Would say that's the first thing you do once you're both back in studio, since we're challenging each other to things.
No,
yeah.
I told you I couldn't do a cartwheel.
Well, Lance should do it. He brought it up.
Yeah.
The untalked about thing here is this is part of Jadon Hood's commitment video. Why are the Michigan Michigan coaches aren't allowed to acknowledge that he committed? At least, I mean, Kevin Sumlin did his yes, sir, and all the coaches do something. But this is kind of overt. He announces his commitment, and all of them are in the video?
Yeah, so I'm not sure.
How is that allowed?
I don't know how that works.
Now the NCAA relaxed some of the rules where coaches can retweet players' Twitter accounts if they do something, they put out a highlight tape, you can retweet that. Or if they say something positive about your school, you can retweet that. So you can acknowledge their existence. But I'm not sure you're allowed to acknowledge that they committed to you. I don't know when that became a thing.
Did they acknowledge or just do cartwheels?
Well, if they're in his own commitment video, I'm just trying to figure out what's allowed and what's not. Now, they're in a video where he announces his commitment to Michigan. Now, they don't say his name. They just go, whoo! Stuff like that, but I didn't know you could even do acknowledge a player being part of your class until they sign.
Coordinated video,
yeah. So they obviously know he's going to post a commitment video and be part of it. But whatever, the NCAA, who cares what they enforce and don't enforce? I just didn't. This is pretty overt, saying we know he's committed. I know we're not supposed to talk about him being committed till he signs, but yeah, he's our guy. We're all going to look stupid and do cartwheels.
And mission accomplished.
Yeah, they all look dumb. And Raheel chimes in, dearly departed. 0% Lance can do it to cartwheel.
Dearly departed?
Zero. Yeah, he's
zero.
God,
No. Rude. That's not 0% is what that you can
no,
do cartwheel.
I can, and let me tell you something. Okay. If you guys can raise $100,000 for charity, I will do it for charity.
Listen.
What?
Yes.
I know
we're willing to do it for charity.
I'm not Tom Brady on the golf course, and we're not Brooks Koepka.
I'm willing to do it for charity.
I know this. I can't do a cartwheel, but I can walk across the street without not being in a cast afterwards.
Well, he said he was stopping a robbery, remember?
No, he wasn't. He was just walking across the street.
It's a purse snatching.
No purse snatching.
And when I kicked, the way I caught him was I kicked his feet out from under him. I did a swooping like a leg kick, and that's what damaged the upper part of the foot. And then I was running, and I was kind of limping, and then that's when I tripped over the high curb. They have like 8-inch curbs, very high. Highest curbs, very high curbs.
Highest curbs.
They've got the highest
city.
Curbs in all of Alabama. Very high. They're the best. The highest of all. Highly
dearly
rated
departed,
curbs.
How about Raheel of the Raheel Show podcast? That would be nice.
Well, he's dead to me, so.
Whoa. Jeez. Wow.
Jeez, that's because he hasn't been invited on a podcast. Dell's trying to get on that podcast.
Well, I don't know of any podcasts. All I know is about a guy who's a ghost. To me, at least.
You ain't been on that podcast.
I have.
John Clay Wolf
once.
Is alive to me, and John Clay Wolf is with us here on ESPN 97.5. What'd you say, John Clay Wolf?
You know, if Joe Rogan's worth $100,000 on his podcast, what's Raheel worth?
$100 million?
You're right, $100 million. If Joe Rogan gets a $100 million contract on his podcast, what's Raheel worth?
Oh my God, Raheel's worth about $12.
Triple that because he's Persian. You got that.
Oh yeah, and he had some kind of. By the way, some kind of happy holiday for him, Mubarak or something this weekend. I don't know what that means. Congratulations.
Add another $20.
Yeah. So I was listening to you this weekend. I do the show right in front of you on ESPN 97.5 here, and you sound like you're happy again. You know that.
I am. We're actually able to buy cars with confidence without fear that we're going to, like, lose $3,000 a rip on them. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. So what are you doing before us? Is it, like, the dog washing show or the...
No,
or
the golf show with Charlie Epps. Yeah.
Well, you're a golfer, so that makes sense.
Yeah, no. I host that show with Charlie, and we have all kinds of great guests. We had Blaine McAllister. We had Ben Crenshaw, Jim Nantz. Well, yeah, it's big. Well, your lead in here is big, okay? Just so you know that.
You're my fluffer, baby.
That's right. That's right. So let's listen. And there's a bunch of people out there. They just got to sell their cars right now, don't they? Because they don't have any money.
That's fine. If you don't want to get ripped off and you want to sell it for the top, go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. Actually, this week, if I don't beat your CarMax offer, our standing deal's always been $100. But I'll do $500 this week because I feel that confident that we're going to beat them and that I'm paying that much money. That's my way of saying I'm paying a lot of money again for cars. As you noted, John, you sound happy again. Well, wow. I am happy again because I'm able to do what I do.
Wow, $500 if they can't beat CarMax's offer. That is unbelievable. $500 in your pocket from John Clay Wolf. If he can't, that's a guarantee, people. So all you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. Thanks, John Clay Wolf.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.